My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to start again in Galatians. And this is, we're going to start in verse 11. Get your Bibles out. This is a Bible study, and we're teaching verse by verse through the book of Galatians. And this is our second teaching in Galatians. And I just, I think this is a wonderful book. It gets really deep and kind of hard in the latter part of it, but here at the first, it really opens it up so that we can truly understand this gospel that I teach. Because my job is to teach the gospel, and that's what I do. And this is what we're doing here in the book of Galatians for sure. Let's look in chapter 1, verses 11. To give you an idea of where we're at right now, we find that Paul is writing this letter to the book of Galatians. I mean, to the church of Galatia, these letters. And he's very concerned about them because they have been people have come in and started to pervert this gospel that he's been preaching, the gospel that of salvation for the church, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead. That was salvation for the church today, and it was for them too. And people were coming in and perverting this gospel, and he was very concerned about it. And so he's going to tell you, we're going to start in verse 11. He says, "But I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel," this gospel, "that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead for salvation for the church, which was preached by me, is not after man." You see, he didn't get this from man. Look what he says. "I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but it came by the revelation of Jesus Christ." You see, Jesus gave him this gospel. Gave him this gospel, and we're gonna be talking about this. And so many people, where did this gospel come from? Would it come directly from Christ? See, Jesus is the head of the body of Christ, and we are his people, which we are the body. But Jesus is the head, and he started a whole new church. See, he set aside the Jewish church totally. Set them aside. He set them aside. Because they totally rejected him. And he started a whole new church, and a whole new church with a whole new different salvation. See, our salvation is different. We're going to be talking about a lot of that. It's different than what it was for the Jews. But we have a total different salvation and a total different church. Our church is made up of believers that believe the gospel. And that's it. That's all we do. We believe the gospel, and God takes it from there. We don't have rules. We don't have regulations. We have none of those things. Why? Because we have God living in us, and he's never going to point us to sin. See? Never going to point you to sin. He's going to point you to a closer walk with him. And that's why we don't need the Ten Commandments, because we got the God living in us, and this is what the gospel provides for us. As soon as you believe the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians 1:13. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That means God's living in you. And so, this is the gospel he preached. Now, like he said, now, he didn't get this gospel from man. He said, "Neither was I taught it by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Okay, this is verse 13. "For you have heard my manner of life in times past." In the Jewish religion. See, he's the one. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was the one that was going around capturing all these Jews that believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and put them in chains and take them to Jerusalem and throw them into prisons. And there they would vote on them and they would kill them. That's how the Jews did away with people they didn't believe in. What do you think they killed Jesus? He didn't believe in him. They didn't just argue with him. They just killed him. And that's how they did it then. They just killed you if you didn't believe in him, and that's what he was doing, and he thought he was doing God's work, you see. "For you have heard of my manner of life," see, in times past, in the Jewish religion. You see, Jews were religious. What's a religion? It's a man working to do something to be able to be good enough to be able to reach God. But you see, our salvation isn't based that way. It's God. It does everything. We do nothing. We don't work for anything. In fact, if we work for anything, It's worthless to God. Our works are worthless to God. He wants us to put our trust totally in Him for our salvation. And He saves us by believing the gospel. He seals us with the Holy Spirit. He moves into our lives and walks with us and lives with us. And the works that we do, He does them. If we do them, they're worthless. But if He's working through you, He will get the glory and you'll get the reward. See, that's not religion. See, that religion is you working for salvation. We do nothing. Not even when we are saved, we're saved to do good works. But the good works that we do isn't us doing it. It's God doing it through us. See, altogether difference in the world. We're not a religion whatsoever. He said he was in a Jewish religion, and how beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. See, he wasted it and profited in the Jewish religion. See, he profited. He was in the hierarchy of the Jewish religion, and also he was a brilliant person. He was under he studied under the feet of a man by the name of, I think it's Galileo. Anyway, he was one of the greatest teachers there was. He knew the scriptures as well as any man walking. You know, he was a total Jew. And he said he profited in the Jewish religion above all my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous in the traditions of my fathers. Now look at verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by His grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor. You see, you would think he'd be the last one that God would call to preach the gospel. A man that is persecuting his believers that believe that he was the Messiah. You know, but you see, he just was involved in killing maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of people because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He was involved in it. I think he voted for it. I think he was a member of the Sanhedrin. You see. And he was totally guilty. But he was chosen by His grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor. You see. What it means to me is that there's nobody out here on this earth that God can't choose and can't give. Your grace won't cover your sins. He covered Paul's sins. His grace covered it. His blood covered it and made him perfect. You see, like I say, no matter who you are, no matter what situation you're in, God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient to cover Paul's. Paul was a multi-murdered by many people, probably. Maybe hundreds, maybe thousands, I don't know. Died because of what he did, you see. But His grace was sufficient, see. So I don't care if you're a druggie. I don't care if you sell drugs. I don't care if you're an alcoholic. I don't care if you're a gambler. I don't care if you're a thief or a liar or just whatever the worst scum in the world. God's grace is sufficient. All you've got to do is believe the gospel, and He'll take it from there. He'll move into you, and He'll walk away from all those problems in your life because God's there guiding you. It's wonderful. His grace. To reveal His Son in me, see, verse 16, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. Okay, now listen to this. He said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. You see, when he became a believer on the road to Damascus, Jesus stopped him. See, stopped him in his tracks. And he became a believer really fast. And he was saved. But he was saved as a Jew. You know, just like Peter, James, and John were. He confessed for 3 days. He was praying. He was blinded for 3 days, and he was praying to God. And he was, you know, he was tremendously repentant for what he'd been doing. Because, you know, now he realized that he was totally wrong. Before, he thought he was totally right, see. And then, of course, he came. Ananias came and he repented, he was baptized, he believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and what did he do? As soon as he got on his feet, he went to the synagogue right there in Damascus and started preaching the gospel, not the gospel. See, he didn't have the gospel yet. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, what Peter and James preached to these people, that Jesus was the Messiah. And of course, they were going to kill him. And they decided to kill him. And so they put guards on all the exits and entrances of Damascus, a walled city. And they told those guards when he walked out of town to kill him. So they got wind of that, and his disciples lowered him down in a basket in the middle of the night in the dark. And what did he do? He said, right here, he just said it. He said, "Neither did I went back up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia." See, he didn't go. You'd think he'd go directly up there because he's preaching the same gospel now that Peter, James, and John the apostles preaching. See, he was saved by that same gospel, but no, the Holy Spirit took him to Arabia. And there again, then returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. See, he spent 3 years with the Lord. You know, people say, oh, how in the world, what did he do for 3 years? It probably took 2.5 years to get the Judaism out of him. Can you imagine Paul when he sat at Jesus' feet and talk with him when he told him about this new church that he's going to have? And he told him, he says, and you're going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. You know, Jews hated Gentiles. They just despised them. I mean, can you imagine? He about threw up, I'll bet you. I mean, here's a man of a Jew of a Jew. There was no doubt about it. You know, he knew the Bible from one end to the other, the existing Bible, see, the Old Testament. And, you know, and he was a Jew, and he was studied under the best there was as far as studying the Scriptures. And now he's going to be an apostle to Gentiles? You know, yes, he was. Jesus taught him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And can you imagine when he said, oh, by the way, also, you're not going to be, this new church, it's not going to be under the law. Can you imagine that to a Jew, especially of Paul's caliber? Not under the law? Oh, and not under Sabbath day either. Oh, not under temple worship either. Not under the sacrifices either. Not under all the feast days either. In fact, Paul, not under circumcision or any of those things. In fact, this church has no rules and regulations. All they have to do is believe the gospel, that I died on that cross to pay for their sins, and that he was buried and rose from the dead. And as soon as they believe that, I will seal them with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit and myself and God will dwell them for the rest of their life and point them closer to Jesus every day. Can you imagine that? But no Judaism, none whatsoever, see. And that's exactly what the church is supposed to be today. But the churches haven't done that, see. Number one is, see, they don't preach the gospel, because you can't get saved unless you believe the gospel, and you can't get the Holy Spirit unless you believe the gospel. So what does that mean? It means that the churches out there today, these people aren't saved. If you walked down the aisle and said, I believe in Jesus, and shook the hand of the pastor, and he said, how do you need to be baptized too? And you said, that's just fine. And then you did. When you walked out there, you're no more saved when you started. Is that in the gospel? Is there anything of what they did in the gospel? It's not believing in Jesus. It's believing the gospel. Believing what he did. He pointed, see, to his death, burial, and resurrection, because that's what truly saved you. Let me tell you, all the way from Adam, all the way up to Jesus, everybody who had died before that, none of them got to go to heaven. Not one of them. You mean Adam didn't go? Noah didn't go to heaven? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they didn't go to heaven? Nope, none of them. Well, how about Joseph? No. How about Moses? No. None of them. How about the Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, Isaiah? How about David? No. None of them went to heaven. Why? They went to paradise. Where did it go? That's where they went, to paradise. But paradise wasn't heaven. You see, they couldn't go to heaven because the sin debt hadn't been paid for. The sin debt, no one can go to heaven of sin. And they were all born with a sin nature. They all had sin problems in their life. You study them all. Every one of them did. They had sin problems. None of them went to heaven. They went to paradise. Now, that wasn't hell, but it sure wasn't heaven. But somebody had to pay the price, and Jesus did. He took on a human body, see. so he could die. It was born of a virgin. Had to be. If it was born a man, he would have been born with the sin nature, and he wouldn't have been a perfect sacrifice. He had had sin too. So he was born of a virgin. And his father was God. And he walked on this earth, and he died on that cross, and he died to pay the sin debt for the whole world. Everybody, from Adam to the last person on the world, and all he asks you to do is believe it. That's the gospel. That's all he asks you to do is believe it. And he takes it from there. He takes it from there. So that's when he went down, down to Arabia, see. That's when he dealt, when the church began. But see, the first church didn't start till Antioch. And that was the first church that was called Christians. And that's the first church that were based on the gospel. Their salvation was based on the gospel. And that was at least 13, 14 years after Pentecost. And you see, the churches today say, the people in the church, well, the church started at Pentecost. It couldn't have started at Pentecost. Paul wasn't even a believer yet. And Paul was the one that put the church together. How could church start at Pentecost? We see the devil wants you to think church started at Pentecost because then they can take Peter, James, and John's teachings and put it in the church and say that's part of the church. But that's exactly what was destroying the church. Peter, James, and John's messages were destroying the body of Christ, you see, because they were adding it to the gospel, see. The church did not start until Paul got these teaching from Jesus in Arabia. And Jesus was the head of this church. And this church, the first church, didn't start till at least 13, 14 years afterwards, after that. And they had to know the gospel. And the gospel wasn't preached by Jesus. The gospel wasn't preached by Peter, James, and John. The gospel of grace wasn't known anywhere. Not even the Old Testament had never mentioned it. None of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John, never those methods mentioned it. Peter, James, and John didn't have a clue about it. But yet the church's people today say, well, Pentecost start then. Well, that's Satan. They're lying to you. They're lying to you. It couldn't have happened. It's impossible. It couldn't have happened. And then verse 18, it says, and after 3 years I went back to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other than the other apostles saw I none, except James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I have write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. He's telling you the truth. Everything he has to back up, people question him constantly. He says, I lie not. I'm telling the truth. This gospel, I got it directly from Jesus Christ. You see. And we can believe it. I believe that every word from Romans through Philemon, this is Paul's epistles, every one of them should be in red letter edition because they all come directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them from the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, afterwards I came into a region of Syria and Cilicia, that's up near in the Turkish area, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. They didn't know him by face, and he changed his name. But they had heard only, he who persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Now, we're going to start into a section that is just fantastic. And if people would understand this, we would never have a problem in the churches today. They would truly understand this, but they don't even read it. Did you know that 95% of the pastors that preach every Sunday, they preach on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And there's no salvation for the church in there. Oh, we can learn. We get learning from it. There's no doubt about that. Turn back to Romans. Chapter 15, I believe. Lord, I didn't write this down, but I'm pretty sure this is right. But it just came to my mind. Romans 15, and look at verses 4. It says, for whatever things that were written in earlier times. When is that? That's the Old Testament, and very likely that could have meant Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So it's important to know the Old Testament. Tremendously important. And it's tremendously important to know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm not saying that they should never teach in them. But what I'm trying to say is, Jesus, every word he said never was meant for you and me. Not a word was meant for you and me. He was talking only to the Jews, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I'll tell you why he was. See, he couldn't talk to us. He couldn't deal with us then. Because he was there to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. And the Abrahamic covenant, he could only go to the seeds of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, see? And then his 12 sons were the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Those are the people that he had to deal with. He couldn't go to the Gentiles because he had to fulfill this Abrahamic covenant. In doing so, he was able to, he had a promise, see? Even the law couldn't get in the way of the Abrahamic covenant. Abrahamic covenant was way before the law came along, like 240 years. So nothing could get in the way of it. And Jesus could not teach, go to the Gentiles when he came on this earth. He came to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant, and he was going to be the Messiah if they would accept him. He fulfilled all the promises. There's over 200 promises and prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus would be the Messiah. And he fulfilled every one of them. And Paul knew every one of those too down the road. He knew every one of them down the road. Because he taught the gospel of the kingdom. There's no doubt about that. But it was to the Jews. He didn't teach it to the Gentiles. Our salvation is based on the gospel of grace. But the Jews, there for a small time there, they were a small area, 50, 60 years, they would have been saved by just believing in Jesus. If you're a Jew, that's all they had to do. Believe that he was the Messiah. That's what he came for. But they rejected him. Totally rejected him. To give you an idea how bad they rejected him, let's turn over to Acts. Chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This is hard to even comprehend. Acts chapter 1. And verse about 15. But what this is, Peter, James, and John and the disciples had to find another apostle because Judas, killed himself, and they were going to find a new one. And so they got together. This is after Jesus was still was up in heaven, so they scoured the area to find people that they could look to be the apostle. See. How many people do you think that were believers then? It says, and in those days Peter stood in, this is verse 15, chapter 1, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together was about 120. You see, they found 120 people after Jesus walked on this earth for 3 years, healed thousands of people. Preached constantly and taught in all the synagogues, all around. Look right over here. We go back to Matthew. He went all over the area. And Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And look what he did. Matthew chapter 9. And just look at verses 30, I think. 35, I think. Yeah, 35. Matthew chapter 9, 35. What did Jesus do? What did he teach? He said, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. Was he teaching the Gentiles? Is there Gentiles in synagogues? No. He's teaching in all these villages and cities, teaching in their synagogues and preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And he did this for 3 years. All over that whole area. And only 120 people they had to choose from to be a disciple. It just boggles the imagination. 120. And that's all he did was heal and preach. But he preached the gospel of the kingdom, see. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, that he was the Messiah. And see, he was wanted, and you see, it was, and so he, and that's what he demanded, that the apostles, that they would only go. Look at the next page over, at chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, look at verses 5. It says, "And these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles." He commanded, don't go to the Gentiles and to any of the city of the Samaritans either. They were half Jews. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then you just go on up to, and so that's all they went to. And go look at chapter 15 while we're here. Chapter 15 while we're in Matthew. And look at, let's look at verses 22. It says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same borders and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon." See? And he answered her not a word. He couldn't deal with her. She was a Gentile, see? "And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." She crieth after us. But he said, this is what he answered. But he said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Do you see what he said? He was not sent. That's why we're saying we don't have anything in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. He wasn't sent to us. He was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But then she came to worship him and saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." That's what they thought of us at that time. Even Jesus did. Even Jesus did. So we see that, you know, all those years that Jesus was there, you know, he preached and he taught these people. But there was, he only had 120 people that were there so they could choose to be the disciple. They could be the disciple. We got to stop now and we'll start again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in this teaching, and I pray that you be with these people. Open their eyes so they can understand the word, that they would come to the knowledge of the gospel. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.